Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. I'm your host, Michelle Meshe. I want to say hi to everyone in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the Chat Room, that grounds the energy, a lot of wonderful beings in there, very awake, aware beings as well. And kind of humorous and very friendly, too. Good combination. And if you're listening via the BTR archives or FM player or, of course, iTunes, I want to welcome you all also and thank you for listening. Thank all of you for listening and just co-creating this wonderful community that we've been meeting at. And remember, you know, what's interesting about the soul path is we're connected before we've met. You know, we're all connected etherically, or you could say through the ethers, the ethernet, and the internet and internet, right? We are all connected. Let me know how the sound is. Hey, Tamara, good to see you in the chat. And, yeah, we had a little boo-boo with the setup of the hi, sound is great. Ooh, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Tamara. Yeah, okay. Yeah, almost had the show scheduled for the wrong day. So we almost didn't make it. But we are here. We also have Hans 33 Bowls back with us by request. Amazing. You really want to stick around for this. He is just a very dialed in being, amazingly gifted and talented, has a background in science, engineering, technology, and had a long career in that, and then blended, merged that. You could say kind of veered off, right? Kind of veered off or veered into, I guess you could say, into sound healing. And he has these amazing, amazing Tibetan singing bowls, the metal bowls, and they're ancient. It's very hard to find. I think they're between 200 and 500 years old, maybe even a little bit older. So imagine all of that sacred sound meted in that, hammered into that, however they make it, sculpted into that, morphed into that. Anyway, okay. Oh, I also want to let everybody know that, let me see if I can get the link here, that have a wonderful teleworkshop coming up this Saturday. I usually get kind of carried away. I'm so in the moment. I usually, and, you know, I kind of apologize for that because I do get quite a few people emailing me and saying, you know, you never let us know what's going on. And, of course, you can always find out what's happening with me or, you know, upcoming events or workshops or seminars or speaking engagements. By emailing me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com, and I will I'll put you on the blog list. Have a new blog coming out, and Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living will be moving over to there, soulplayground.life. You can start to check it out. Very in the beginning stages of building it out, but I'm just really excited for what I'm going to be sharing and co-creating with all of you. So that's an option. You can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I love my Instagrammies. But anyway, it's transformation, empowerment, healing via pranic healing and chakra balancing. And it's this Saturday, which is October 29th, 3 p.m. Pacific time to 4:30 p.m. can be wherever you're at. But what we're really going to tune into this time, I did an in-person one. This will be a bit different. And what we're going to do, what I'm going to share with you, is how to learn to tune in to palpate this, the energetic field, which is, there's many terms for it, resonant fields, morphogenic fields, you know, the subtle energy. And you're using the subtle energy. You're connecting it. So the subtle energy, we have a dense, or what they call metaphysically also, or into esoteric sciences, gross, the gross body, which is, just means, if you look up gross in the, you know, in the dictionary, it means denser or heavier. So we have a denser or heavier form, as well as the subtle energy. So the dense form of us is about a quarter to an eighth of who and what we are. That's it. The physical body, the dense physical body, is a very, 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 very small part of us. And so we connect into our more expanded consciousness, into these rungs or realms of stream, you know, light and streams of consciousness. So you're going to learn how to palpate this energy field and learn how to read it and get messages for health, guidance, relationships. So, and we're going to also focus on the chakra system and with the personal and the transpersonal, so the main chakras and then also the expanded chakras, and learn to read the energy pattern. So the healing will be creating this type of balance, and then we'll focus on some distant healing. But really, I want to teach people and share how do you tap into your own energy field to know what's going on. How do you scan your body to know what your body needs or what's going on? And it's very subtle, because that's the part that you're tapping into, right? So you can go to, let's see, where is the linky? You can go to eventbrite.com. Let's see. It's also on my Facebook page. We did tweet it, but if you go to, I'm looking at it in the browser. Let's see if I can get you the linky. I kind of thought this off the cuff. I'm like, okay, let's get this email in your browser and let's see if I can get that link. Yeah. Well, if you're interested, I'll send it to you because I've got the actual email, so I don't have the actual link. Somebody might have it. If not, that's okay. Maybe I'll see if I can put this. Yeah. Anytime you guys are interested in anything that I'm doing, just let me know. Tamara did it. Tamara, thank you so much. Hey, Jules. Hi. Oh, my God. Okay. Like, I'm like, don't do it all. Trying to get it done. That was pretty good. Yeah, the laughing. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, I promise I'm going to get better. I get better. Sometimes I'm on a roll with everything, and I get the information out there. Also, we are starting the next Soul Entrepreneurship Group in January. Some of you email me interest. Some of you have already signed up. And again, if you want more information on that, you can go to, you can email me at Michelle@soulentree.com or awakeningspodcast@gmail.com or awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And it'll get and just say interested, want the info or want to do it, da 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 da. And I'll send you the information and forms and stuff to fill out. Yes. Okay. So, lots going on in relationship. I will do readings too. That number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on your keypad. And a couple questions here. One is from Jenna. I have a question for you, but I'm unable to call in. My question is, what does it mean when you experience deja vu, as in seeing the exact scene before? Thanks, and I love your show. Thank you, Jenna. Thanks for joining us. I love that you love our show, and I love that you're asking this great question. It's interesting when we look at deja vu, it, to me, it's like you're there's a little bit of a time hiccup. We have this idea that time is linear, right? That, and there is on this, on the subtle energy, you know, or the, sorry, on the literally, you know, kind of in the surface mind or in our beta existence, just to keep things, you know, simple. But also in when we look at dualistic thinking, when we look at duality, when we look at that we're experiencing this dimension, you know, about to the sixth dimension, honestly, we are more in the polarity plane. When you start getting into, actually the ninth is when you start, it gets a lot more amorphous. It gets, there's a lot of bleed through. There's a lot of, well, that's when the oneness really starts, right? You ascend, you're moving beyond duality, beyond the playing out of the polarity plane. So again, if we have hot, we have cold. If we have forward, we have backward. If we have a past, we have a present, we have a future. You know, we have the past, we have the future, and we have right here, right now. But in reality, in a certain reality, because it all is a reality. I hate when people say, "Oh, we're living this dream. It's not really real." Yes, everything is real. The not being real is real, and the real is real, right? It's just it's the sleep is real, and the waking is real. So it's all real. You know, it's reality. There's many forms of reality. I can have one reality where I live and doing this show and being with all of you, and then I can have another, you know, then there's another reality down the street, and there's another reality downtown, and it's just as real. I mean, the homeless person in the homeless encampment or the tent, you know, is just as real as the skateboarder skateboarding, you know, on Venice Beach, right? As the surfer is surfing in his world on the ocean, as the dolphins swimming, right? And the whales, you know, out in the sea. And the person flying their plane. It's all real realities intersecting. So we really have to get that notion that nothing is real. The thing is that really the conundrum, if you really want to know how things work, everything is real and everything is happening all at once. So our ego mind tries to compartmentalize because, again, the surface mind can only take in about 7.8 bits of information, okay? Our infinite mind, that's why we're all being trained and we're retraining our software and our hardware, you know, the physical body, as well as the you know, the inside, the software, the brain, the mind. To be able to tap into the more expanded or abstract reasoning aspect of our being, the intuitive, the infinite. That's what you do when you're in meditation. Get into that oneness, that place of interconnectedness, where you understand and live more into your expanded consciousness, and you expand and live where you normally wouldn't live. And sometimes it's hard to articulate it, right? So if we look at, we have, everything is separated by vibration, every dimension. It's all happening now. I mean, why can I tune in psychically or as a medium, I can channel someone that's on the other side? Well, they are just on the other side, but vibrationally, that's the fence. That's the if you want to say the barrier is vibration. So when I'm able to tune in or relax in and expand, then I see what's past, I see what's present, but I also see what's future. And this is how I look at it. Is something moving in closer? Like when I'm doing a reading, a lot of times I'll see things coming in, and I see the person in the center of these circles, almost like a bullseye, right? A target. Things that are closer into the person or closer into the closest circle are happening more quickly. And then things that are happening further out, there's more... maybe unpredictability. There's it's still taking shape and form. Some things are for sure coming in, but there's other particles that are moving, and some of those particles are people. Some of them are situations that are happening. Sometimes it could be affected community, globally, familially. I can see it being affected emotionally. So when you're having a deja vu, you're getting a bit of a bleed through, is what I like to call it, when literally you bleed through something, right? You cut your finger, right, and you put your hand down on your pants or your dress or top or something, and it bleeds through, you know. You spill liquid, you spill some milk or you spill some juice or something, spill tea, and, you know, you're wiping it with a cloth or paper towel, and it's still leaking through, it's bleeding through. So our realities are really not that defined. It's not like a brick wall. And even a brick wall is moving energy, right? Everything is moving energy. So when you experience something that is what I call that bleed through, you're seeing, because see, so much of what is happening, we're co-creating, but a lot of what we experience is already taking place on the astral plane, which corresponds to the emotional body, or the etheric plane. So again, when I'm reading, I can see something etherically. We can all feel that, right? Sometimes we go, God, I can feel change. I can feel something's going to happen. Like when I met my boyfriend, I felt him around, and I knew the month I was going to meet him. I'm like, I can feel it. I could feel him coming in. He was so close. I didn't know where, but it was already deemed. It had already happened. So by the time things happen on the physical plane, they've been playing out energetically in a more subtle form. There's already been a connecting, okay? And sometimes, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of like a Rubik's Cube in a way, you know? You turn the cube, right? There's the red and the blue and I think the yellow. So you turn the red and then you notice the red on the other side was already turned. So sometimes we're replaying something that we're experiencing. Sometimes we've experienced it already. Sometimes it's brought into our awareness that this has already taken place, or this is taking place right now, and it's taking place before. I know it sounds kind of confusing to some people, because I've experienced that a lot, where you go, well, sometimes that deja vu is also, it's like an 11-11. Again, there's no like total definitive answer, because that realm of playing with time is playing with vibration. It's playing with consciousness. Sometimes it's like a post-it, you know, those sticky, like remember this or tap in here. Sometimes it's also, and you've seen this in the movies, where kind of time catches up. There's a glitch. We see this in streaming, because remember, we're consciousness streaming. Even though, oh, I love these kind of conversations. You guys join in, 347-539-5122. Ask some questions. Let me know how you experience this. We are crystallized form of the all that is. That's what the soul is. It's stepped down or congealed energy. And then the denser physical form of us is even more congealed energy, but it's still energy, so it's moving. So let's look at it this way. It's just like when you're streaming. Aha, this is a good, thank you. The guides are here. They love this question. It's just like when you're streaming something on TV, or we're streaming this and it goes live. I'm watching my, you know, DirecTV, and all of a sudden it goes, streaming has ended. You're now to live TV. Aha, that's your deja vu. So sometimes we replay something, or it's replayed for us and we re-experience it. Sometimes it's like 11-11. It's like a little vibrational tune-up. It could be a reminder to us, or it could be sometimes a glitch where there's a bleed through, where you're either seeing into your future or you're seeing into your past, but there's relevance there. There's relevance. Sometimes you're tapping in to something that you've lived through already other dimensionally. Guess what, people? You're not the only you. You have many yous on different dimensions. You have many aspects of your being. Not just, yes, we're all reflections of one source, right? Out of the one comes the many, and from the many is the one. You know, I am that I am. In Sanskrit, so ham, ham, so, I am that I am. I am everything. You know, we are the universe. We are particles of it, but we are also it. We are the microcosm to the macrocosm, but we're also the macrocosm. Trust me, those people that have done my teleworkshops, my Soul Path teleworkshops, they feel this. One of my participants said, oh my God, this is the best high I have ever had. I have never been so high, and I've done a lot of drugs. That's right, because when you learn to expand out of your closed-in, denser reality of your denser physical form, the gross physical body, you extend into this subtle energy. You know, I've done workshops where we connect in where on a cellular level where people see themselves as molecules. So you can get that finite, that you're this molecule, this particle, that you can see the cellular structure, to expanding into the subtle energy, expanding where you feel that interconnectedness to everything and everyone, where you literally are that moon and stars, okay? You connect into that substance, because that's what we are. We are that life force animating energy. We are the substance of the all that is. So we are streaming and we're live. It's both. That's why in a reading, I always tell people there are destiny issues. Yes, there are some things you cannot change. There are some things you are destined to do, right? And then there are those things within your soul path that you have free will choice in. We always have free will choice in how we respond, right? That's always a given. Let's see. Jules, good question. Do we clear our stuff during the dream time? Yes, many times. And my dreams seem to be more vivid. People I recognize, but situations that didn't happen. I use the verbal affirmations like I expand into. Ooh, I like that, Jules. To try to shift my energy to create whatever. Sticky notes are great. Yes, they are. Hi, Boo Boo. You like this conversation? Here comes Yosh. When I start doing video, I'll play Yoshi, show Yoshi. Okay, so here's the thing. Your dream time has many. Now, remember, it's not that you're asleep. Your body is resting. But consciousness never sleeps. And believe me, we're kind of lucky. I had an experience. It was amazing, but it was also very anxiety-provoking. And I had a great doctor, by the way. He's not in practice so much anymore. He's in West L.A., Dr. Gruen. I got to give him cancerian, very intuitive. His wife is lovely. They're the ones that had figured out that I had a thyroid condition, because I'd gone from working out with a trainer twice a week to running 5 miles, 6 miles. I was in such great shape, and all of a sudden I gained like 35 pounds, 40 pounds in 2 months. And without, I was like, what's going on here? And I was losing, you know, anyway, that's a whole other story. And I went to all these doctors and they couldn't figure it out. And they're like, well, you know, as you age, you know, your metabolism. I'm like, don't tell me that when I see the 80-year-old jogging down the beach, you know, and I'm so tired. Anyway, I had this amazing machine, this computer machine that kind of tapped into, like, found out I was allergic to shrimp and lacked all these, I'm actually allergic to this food sensitive. Anyway, amazing guy. But anyway, what happened was I was doing such deep work and expanded work and working with the spiritual hierarchy, doing a lot of meditation. And I had some amazing breakthroughs. I had some really, really amazing, you know, my psychic ability got even stronger, being able to tap in more to the subtle energy just at will, just kind of a blink of an eye, and was seeing auras all the time, which I do anyway. We all can if you relax your eyes, if you get in that meditative state. But I was living more this. Well, what happened was I became so connected, interconnected to everything and everyone. I mean, everything. I don't even know how to explain it. I'm trying to think back. I was just aware. I was on. And I was doing a lot of lucid dreaming. I was getting a lot of downloads, but I was so expanded in my physicality into the subtle energy that I could feel myself like bumping into, the biosphere, You know, what is it before you go into the space barrier? I can't think of the word right now. And, you know, it was very, I was kind of having these kind of panic attacks, but they weren't really panic attacks. Anxiety, it was just that I felt claustrophobic in Earth. That's the best way I can put it. That's how expanded it was. Earth was now too small for me. And I remember I used to 2 or 3 a.m., I would go to the beach and just sit down in the sand. And what really helped me was like looking out over the beach, you know, just not seeing anything. Everything was just too closed in. And, you know, I thought, oh, God. I mean, people are like, you're under a lot of stress. I'm like, no, I can't explain this. What the heck is going on? And my doctor, holistic medical, he knew. He was so great. I go, this is going to sound crazy. And he knew. And then years later, I saw him for the thyroid thing. But I told him what I was going through. And he said, well, you're having a shift. You're having a quantum leap in perception and downloading so much energy and streaming so much consciousness through you that it's expanding your perception and how you see and view life. And, you know, and he told me, he goes, well, it'll balance out. And I'm like, really? I thought, okay, something better happen because I'm about, you know, it was intense. And what I realized in this was consciousness never sleeps. I could barely sleep. I was so aware, so alert, so downloading so much information, so interconnected to all life, all everything. And I remember at one point thinking, God, and I felt it. When I closed my eyes, I thought, this dimension sleep, this physicality that we have, this denser physicality, needs a break. Our body can't handle. That's why we're doing all these shifts, everyone, so we can handle more of these expanded realms. I got a taste of it. Let me tell you, sleep is wonderful. People complain about sleep. Just try not being able to. And it wasn't that I couldn't turn my mind off. It was pure awareness. Pure awareness. No, not thinking, just interconnectedness and aware. Aware that I was aware. And, you know, aware that I was aware and aware of consciousness. So how do you like that? So, let's see, what is it? I have that too. Maybe it's a spiritual symptom. I'm hypothyroid. Mine was low. It barely registered, like 5. Yes, Tamara, the DNA is changing. Yeah, we can talk. I'll do a whole thing with the thyroid. I'm seeing now, and you can go to bodyofharmony.com. He sells some of the my doctor now. I have a different doctor. He's a medical doctor. He's also a homeopath, and he is an osteopath. And I'm not taking thyroid medication. I'm answering Joel's in the chat. I'm doing supplements, an adrenal supplement, thyroid supplement, a little bit of DHA, extra omega-3s, and coconut oil. He's got me on, and then pregnenolone, which is a girly one for us girlies. So, so that, let's see, man, what did you put in? Jules, Doreen Virtue talked about meditating, how people put all these requirements on how to do it. She didn't matter how, the subconscious still gets it. Yes, and yes, quantum shift. Here's the thing, because I taught meditation at, you know, the internationally known Agape Spiritual Center. I've got a book and CDs on it. And I studied, I started meditating in doing yoga in my teenage years. And I think the first book I wrote in late 90s, I think. And then the edited version expanded while I was teaching at Agape. So sometime 2006, 2007. I studied all forms of meditation from shamanic. I learned from my shamanic teacher different forms of meditation, from mysticism, different forms of meditation, whether Christian mysticism, Judaic mysticism, Celtic, Druid, you name it, Egyptian. Stayed in an ashram. I had a, you know, teacher, Muktananda and Guru Mai, Chitville Sananda, Sai Baba, a lot of different teachers. And I used to, for two, 3 years, 2 years, I think it was 2 years, I meditated 3.5 hours in the morning, 2.5 hours in the evening. And then that went down to about an hour, and then that went down because that was a requirement for the program that I was on. And then, and I did actually done meditation intensive where I've been meditating 8 hours, 8 hours a day. Now you take some breaks. You want to talk about high? You want to talk about subtle energy? Woohoo! Woohoo! Yes, and get my decaf here. And my teacher, Guru Mai, Chitsvil Sananda, she was totally ET, totally, you know, I'm a starseed. She is as well in form. Talk about the siddhas. Siddha yoga, she gave me Shaktipat, and I'm now able to give those transmissions to other people, which is something that I do in the tele-workshops. And my in-person workshops. That's why people say, oh, I already feel the energy when I sign up for the workshop or the day before while I'm driving here. I feel these waves of energy. So from my shamanic teacher, also Donna Chui, I was given that gift to transmit or impart that energy. It's all the same energy. That's what I kind of want to get across. Reiki, prana, it comes from different avenues, different points of view. And then I now do longer meditations, but what I learned, and part of it was studying, you know, hypnotherapy, which is using the meditative state. What I learned about meditation over the years, so I've been, 30 some odd years been doing, is that we are that state. So there's a difference between meditation and the meditative state. The meditative state is an attunement or a shift into consciousness, right? And so there's a lot of forms of meditation. There's walking meditation. There's open eye meditation, breath work. There's mantra meditation, which means mind, you know, where you're doing a mantra over and over. I am that I am. So hum so, om namah shivaya. Those are great meditations if you have a lot of anxiety. And I prefer Sanskrit. I've learned mantras of Sanskrit, and I've learned mantra meditation in English and in other languages. I prefer Sanskrit because to me it's infused. Sanskrit language is so ancient. It's infused with what they call these, bikas, I believe it's called. They're seed, the letters. They're seated energetically. Let's just put it that way. They're woo-hoo. And that mantra meditation, amazing. I love mantra meditation. And, of course, that's what when you're doing chanting, you're using mantras. And you're connecting into that energy. So they're not just words. All words convey something and have an energy behind them. But some of them are more infused with chakti or transformative energy. Grace. Right? Divine energy. And of course, you know, the years of saying those letters and words like Om, right? How many of you saw my Facebook? It's on my Facebook page, the Michelle Mache page. And also I post on Instagram a tune-up of doing the connecting in with the A for the heart. And getting up in the morning, or if you can't seem to get going, or you've got ideas in your mind and you're not really, you know, motivated, or you're kind of tired, or you're just trying to attune to what's coherent for you, simply taking a couple deep breaths in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, and just simply going, and make it low, make it throaty into the, throaty. You know, into the heart, bring it deep, and you'll feel the heart chakra vibrating. You'll literally feel the heart area, the heart lung area vibrating, and that gets you into coherence. And I suggest doing that before making decisions and before, you know, starting your day. So, Jules, great point about meditation. So, again, what I learned was, and if you go to my website, selfenlight.com, I've got free meditations there, and I go into the difference between meditation and the meditative state. So I agree, we are that. We are that state, and it's really about aligning and attuning to it. And what you need is pranayama, which is in Sanskrit, breath, breath control, breath awareness. Dhyana, which is the Hindu, you know, Sanskrit Hindu for oneness, focused awareness, or Vipassana is another way to turn it. And you get Samadhi, which is oneness. And this is why being in the meditative state doesn't necessarily mean you don't feel anything. It's that you retain that center, that peace and calm within. Even if you're angry, even if there's a bunch of stuff happening, stress around you, or it's a you know, horrible day, you don't go into La-La-Ville and check out. You connect into the oneness. And again, it's breath awareness, breath control. Do some breathing, deep breathing into the abdominal area. That's all it takes. Connecting into the breath, focused awareness, even saying, I am here, just noticing where you are and not resisting. See, meditation is about bringing in yourself into the awareness of what is. It's not about changing anything. Now, there's different meditations. There's contemplation meditation. You know, there's a focus meditation. There's meditations to expand into the higher chakras. There's meditations to connect with your higher self. I have these on my CDs, and I have these on my YouTube channel, Light Being 21. So there's different. Think of meditation as a practice, as tools, as techniques, as ways to attune, align, tap in, ways to heal. Hypnotherapy is a form of using the meditative state. The difference is you're doing processes with it. But the key is what we're all trying to do by practicing is align to the truth of who we are, that consciousness of oneness, of the all being, the all that is, and not trying to resist or change what's happening, but be in alignment with it. That's the Taoist principle. So it's kind of, I look at it like a dancer, or, you know, maybe I'm artists, we all know artists, they practice sketching. I have some artist friends and they're, oh, I love that. Oh, no, I'm just, I'm working it out. I'm just keeping my muscle going, right? I'm doing my yoga. I'm stretching now. Oh, what do you do? Oh, you're playing the piano. Yeah, these are my scales. I'm a singer. I'm doing this, you know, or blah, 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 whatever you do, right? But you don't go on stage. So life is our stage. We don't live our life going blah 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 blah. You know, we don't, or blah 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 on the piano, right? You know, we do our practice, our spiritual practice, so that we can be more in attune to the truth of who we are and what we are. So the deal is, and this is why I reformatted the way that I did the workshop, or my workshops for sure, but my book, and from the guides, they said, you are that. It's a shift in consciousness. It's a shift in perception. It's an expanding into what is. So that's why, and I got a lot of flack when I did my book. Now there's a lot of people since then have come out with 5-minute meditations, 3-minute meditations. But I realized in the mid-90s, I realized, heck, it's great to tune in and check for 2 hours, an hour and a half. And we need that. It's great. 20 minutes, a half an hour. But you don't have to, because the meditative state is us. So that's why I came up with the 5-minute meditation. And that's what my book is about. I came up with ways to tune in. Some of them are 13 minutes. I think I have a 20-minute. Some of them are 3-minute breath. And the idea is do this throughout the day. Do this when you're in the boardroom and you're ready to strangle somebody, or you're tired and you need energy. You can't focus. Do this all the time. Don't just go, I can't wait to get home and meditate. The whole day is horrible. I'm racing around. I can't wait to get home. No, you do it in the grocery store. Couple breaths, look around. You do it while you're driving. Yes, more awareness. Meditation, you know, again, certain meditations actually make you more aware, and there's studies on this. Your body becomes more relaxed, but your brain is more active. You're able to process more information. You're able, I've done meditations with people, retreats, where they can see, I did this at Agape, and people were blown away. We got so expanded that we would be in, and this was the game. I love these kind of little spiritual, metaphysical, esoteric games. People could see who was driving in, what kind of car, beyond the wall. We'd go out in the hallway, we'd tune in, And, oh, I see so-and-so, Reverend, oh, it's down there. Really? Yeah, yeah. And then, okay, go look. Yes. So, again, it's a part of us, that meditative state. So it's really, to me, more important to know how to do that minute by minute, to tap into that state of awareness, state of consciousness, rather than saying, I meditate every day for an hour. I meditate every day for 2 hours. I want to know, what are you doing in between your meditation? That's what interests me, right? Let's see, if God, creator, is all that is, then whatever modality is taught, transmitted, it's all in the same God energy, just renamed. Yes. Now, here's the thing. Some things do have more truth to it, more awareness, because consciousness does expand and contract. There can be less consciousness. Yoshi has a lot more consciousness than a lot of people I've met, you know. Now, in saying that, sometimes it's just the consciousness of what they're playing out on this dimension or these more earth or material dimensions, the denser frequencies. But here's the thing, you know, if there's a lot of judgment and there's a lot of duality and extremes and polarity, then it's obviously not as conscious, but it has its place here. There's nothing on the planet that is here, in fact, in the universe, that quantum shift, that isn't needed and necessary until it's not. Yes, there's TM, Transcendental Meditation, which uses a mantra specific to that person and what they need. So that's basically mantra meditation. You know, and see, traditionally, and this is how I taught, and I teach meditation when I teach individuals or work with my clients, and definitely when I taught meditation more formally, I think I was at Agape for 7 years, is there's different types of meditations that are good for different people and what you're working through. If you're very emotionally based, maybe emotionally reactive, there's meditations specifically that work on that. If you're very physical and not in tune with your emotions, there's specific meditations for that. And in fact, yoga postures. If you're very mental, then there's specific meditations that address that and help you bring balance. So meditation is about bringing balance to you, healing. Same with yoga. Yoga means union, bringing together. So traditionally, people were prescribed, and SRF does this a little bit, Self-Realization Fellowship, they have courses that are focused more if you're mentally based, emotionally based, physically based, or combination. Also, I was trained that way in alchemical hypnotherapy, that you treat where the person is at. You know, so traditionally meditation was prescribed, same with yoga. They would give it, and yoga wasn't these huge groups. You did it individually. Okay, do these asanas, do these postures for what you're going through. Like inverted postures are great for anxiety. Downward facing dog, any of the postures or what we call in Sanskrit asanas where your head is going below your heart. I'm going to give a different meditation to somebody that's extremely physical and has an issue sitting still or focusing. Sitting still meditation, I may not start them there. I may start them with a movement meditation, a walking meditation. I may start them with dynamic breath work and then bring them to sitting, right? Somebody that has a lot of emotional issues and traumas and is very stimulated, I might start them with a contemplation meditation. I'm not going to tell them, don't think. That's, if you hear somebody say, still your mind, run. That's not meditation. Meditation isn't about stilling your mind, quieting your mind, having no thoughts in your mind, because that's what the mind does. It thinks. Meditation is a way to get beyond the mind. And then the course of contemplation meditation, then you come back in the mind to process or think or with a realization, maybe or maybe not. But you're not trying to stop anything. That's the whole thing. You're expanding into what is. That's samadhi. That's samadhi. Look it up online, what it means in Sanskrit. And the ultimate oneness is samadhi. The ultimate oneness is when we lose our identification with the denser physical body. We die, essentially. We, you know, our spirit goes into the all that is. We're subsumed back into the all that is. So when you're meditating, don't try to still the mind. Don't try to calm. Just focus breath, focused awareness, you will naturally get there. You don't have to push it. You don't have to force it. It's just, I had something like a few years ago, I had some dental work done, and I was kind of, you know, I don't really like going to the dentist, although I do like my dentist. She's pretty, pretty cool. And they have this great fish tank, or not fish tank, they have this great screen, that's right, where they had all this wildlife, and it was very meditative, and the soft music. Anyway, I brought my, you know, I had my phone, and I was plugging it, and I was going to listen to my meditation. Actually, I listened to a little bit of Awakening. And immediately, I didn't even realize I was doing this. I went into my breath work, my focused awareness, and I got so relaxed, so tuned in. And all of a sudden, she's like, oh, okay, we're done for today. And I'm like, what? And I was like, oh, my God. And I got up, and I thought, ooh, I was in a meditative state. And I thought, Jesus, I've been doing this so long that I naturally went there, and I didn't even know I was going there. She's like, oh, God, you're so relaxed. And then I said, yeah. And I go, I didn't even turn on my meditation. I was going to do my own meditations, my own breath work to get me in the zone. So it's anything else, like anything else, practice, practice. The more you do it, the more you're able to get into that state of awareness. The more you do your stretches, the more you do your yoga, the easier it is to bend down, to pick something up. So what I'm trying to share, Jules, I'm so glad you brought this up. The more you do it, the more that you can align to that state or attune to that state of awareness and beingness, which is your true nature, which is you. Yes, you're going to experience stress, anger, ups, downs, whatever. All that, yes, that's going to happen. But it's possible to have less extremes of that. And it's possible while you're having that, to still have that peace and calm, a sense of interconnectedness and joy. Boy, that's true, Joel. Sometimes it's hard to know what's truth and what's just marketing. Spirituality is a booming business. Yes, and I love Tamara saying, I personally enjoy changing it up, using different forms of meditation, know thyself. When my mind is stressed, anxiety, I use my Kindle to distract my mind by listening to something. I use a text-to-speech setting. Nice, nice, different form. Just remember, breath awareness, pranayama, dhyana equals samadhi. It's that is meant for 8,000 years. It works. You can get fancy schmancy. You can use it for a lot of different ways, a lot of different forms. I would say, Jewel, to be honest, I have found that things, if they're very simple, they're not dogmatic. There's always going to be like a principle, you know, or doctrine, you know, and whether it's aligned to you or not. But I have found things really, you know, even some of the things that I've experienced that are people with like channeling and the other things that I've experienced in my life, beings from other planets, et cetera. On some level, it does make sense. On some level, there's a wow, did that really happen? But then there's usually some kind of proof. And with spiritual principles, especially like meditation, there is a sense of common sense to it. And now there is a lot of science behind it as well. There's, you know, so we can get as, you know, technocratic about it, or we can just bring it back to what you have within you, the breath. You're living, you have that life force animating energy. Pranayama, breath awareness, breath control. I'm slowing my breath down consciously, or I'm just becoming aware of my breath. Breath awareness, breath control, dhyana. Focused awareness. Focused awareness isn't, it could be focused on one thing, like a mandala, a candle, a tree, or it could be focused awareness on everything that's around you. Like right now, I'm taking everything in around me, in my room and outside and connecting with all of you energetically, and I'm in a meditative state because my focused awareness is on my interconnectedness. I don't have to try to do anything. Just doing that brings me into the oneness. See, we don't have to strive for oneness. The oneness is the truth. It's just attuning or aligning to that. And your spiritual practice will get you there if you just do the practice. Okay, I think we have time one call, and then let's see where our guest is. 863-289, you're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Hi, this is Jules.
Hey, Jules, welcome.
I'm bilocating. I'm in the chat room and I'm on the phone.
I love them by location. I was going to do a post. Star seeds are multitaskers. We love multitasking. We love multi-being and multitasking. We love taking it all in.
Well,
what's your question?
Actually, I started with one question, but after listening to the topic, I'm kind of into two questions now.
Okay.
I called originally about love, you know, finding that heart-mate connection, you know.
Yeah.
That special someone, you know. You hate to use words like soulmate, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're all soulmates, so soulmate that's a life mate. You want that connection. And hopefully not a soulmate that's only a learning lesson, you know.
You know what? I'm I like heartmate myself because that's what I want. I want that heart connection. So.
Okay, there you go. I like that. Let's use that. Okay. Okay.
And also, you were talking earlier about the circles that you could see, like what's closer in someone's circle. That I was curious, you know, what's in my circle? What's in there other than me? Inquiring minds want to know.
So when I see that, I can see what's coming in closer to people. Like when they ask me a question, I can tell if something's further off or if it's closer. Now, the thing that I get with you, which is so great that you're in our chat today and connecting in, the next step for you is really extending out of your little circle. And really is, I don't want to say, for lack of a word, network connected, community, neighborhood. How can you reach, how can you extend out more into your circles, into your sphere? That's where, are you a little isolated?
Very much so, yes. After my divorce, I moved in with my mom, and we live in a very rural area, and I basically have no outside connection. I'm just
then you got to make it happen.
Yes.
That's your next step. You want to meet somebody, you want to, you know, have soulmates that have the heart connection, heart mates, and a heart mate that is a life mate. So that's the key. You want somebody that's a life mate or a partner, or you've got to term it that way. Otherwise, you can just get a stream of heart mates or soul mates. It's funny,
okay,
Denise put in the chat. I love this. I have the
mate.
Whole combo.
Okay.
Life, lesson, soul, love, haha. I got it too, Denise. Well, we always going to have the lessons. The lessons are there. Hopefully, they're less lessons. There's some relations that are so heavy with lessons. But at some point, if you're shifting and you're growing, you're getting the lesson, and your partner is shifting and growing on their own and getting the lesson or lessons, then you both are in a conscious relationship. That's what relationships are about. They're about consciousness. You know, think of all of us. We've got our little bubble gum, and we're sharing it with somebody or many people. This is so gross, but I say we're swapping spit. We're here swapping energy. We're energetic beings. You rub off on me, I rub off on you. The problem comes when you don't want to let somebody rub off on you and they don't want to let you rub off on them. They're holding too much their own thing. But the reason you guys have come together, we all come, is to integrate what each other has in our own way. You know, so the person that is so quiet and attracts the person that's the life of the party and boisterous, what do they do? Oh, you know, what attracted them is the he's so this or she's so funny. And then next thing you know, 6 months a year, oh, you're so loud, you talk too much, you're, you know, always the life of the party. That's not why you guys got together. You got together to find the life of the party within you and integrate that energy and come out of yourself more. And that person that perhaps is overly extroverted or, you know, constantly going, they learn to go within more. See, that's the whole, I tell you, if people would do this, most of the couples I counsel, I tell them that. I go, listen, if you guys would stop resisting what drew you together and integrate it, you'd have so much less resistance and so much less conflict. You know, so that's, keep that in mind. We attract not to complete us, but what complements us, what draws, that it's not about the person, it's about the energy they're bringing and what it draws out in us. And once you, then you get into play. Then it's like, you know, you're not resisting. But Jules, your thing is you've got to get out there more.
Yeah.
Not just online, but face to face. Find that community, and that's where those relationships are, and also that heart mate.
Okay. Well, that's
that is
what I want to do. I'm wanting to relocate. Like I said, I've been staying with my mom, but it's like I've got a little bit of fear of, oh my gosh, can I do this? But my plan is next Tuesday
plan,
I'm going to.
Don't plan. What I want you to do, forget about moving for now. That'll naturally happen. What I want you to do is just start exploring. Get your curiosity mode. Tap into the inner explorer, the little kid inside that just wants to explore. Get out of your little sandbox, get into a bigger set, and just go to some other cities, go to a little cafe, go to a movie by yourself. Just start getting out. That's all you need to do. Your higher self will take care of the rest. All your ego needs to do is start now. That's it. Just get out. Don't say, I'm going to move. I'm planning. Don't get all heady. Just get in the car, you know, get out of the car, walk around. That's all you, just get the ball rolling. Just get the energetic ball rolling. And then let us do. That's your assignment, and next Wednesday let us know. That's
okay.
They're not waiting 2 weeks or a month. You start now. You got the today. You got the weekend, and some little exploration.
Okay.
All right, sweetie. Let's see.
Okay.
Our guest is here. Okay. All right. Big hug.
Thank you.
Tamara, yeah, love that. Just get the ball rolling. Yeah, I have found. I do too. I plan. I'm going to do this. I put up my soul playground. I don't even know if I'm going to have the Facebook page or group, but I put it up for the heck of it because I love the logo. Everybody look at it. Jennifer Mathieu did it. Great logo. It makes my heart sing. I don't know where it's going, but I like it. Anyway, so let's see where we're going today. We have Hans 33 Bowls. If you want to connect with him while we're chatting, go to 33bowls.com. Love this guy, backed by popular demand. He's got the science aspect, came from an engineering background as well, does healing work, has these amazing singing bowls that are, you know, ancient, antique maybe not ancient, but antique, 200 to 500 years old. And he uses them for healing. He also has amazing recordings about it. But I like this guy because he's got a lot of insight, a lot of awareness, and definitely walking the soul path and living his soul's purpose. Hey, Hans, welcome back. Whoops.
Hello.
Okay. Wait, let's see. Hans, are you there?
This would be me.
Hello?
Are we here?
That's you. I'm there. Yes.
All right.
There's another number with your. There's another number with your number, with some of your numbers.
Right.
Oh,
did they sound surprised?
Too.
Okay.
Yes, they did actually. How are you?
They suddenly felt put on the spot. Boy, that's quite an intro. Thank you, Michelle.
Oh, but it's so true, so very true. I mean, you're such a wealth of information. I mean, I had to tweet the show, and I put it on my Instagram because it's like people were buzzing after our last connecting. It was like people were like, oh, yeah, yeah. They're like, bring him back. It's so amazing.
All right.
Just the way that you explain things, you know, and you're looking also as, you know, bringing that, the whole idea of the technology side, looking at the vibration that's coming from these bowls, what's actually happening, as well as looking at it from more of a esoteric or healing standpoint as well. So
I think the concept
is,
yeah, the concept is integration, the word and instead of or. You were aptly describing various forms of meditation a little bit ago. And it's an entirely different world when we integrate the two rather than having either or.
Yeah.
So I do my best to at least begin to walk some of that walk. I claim to be no shining example, but there's a different way of being that isn't either or when we talk about technology and spirituality, or science and the unseen. And
yes,
if you can articulate a bit that and create a few ahas and a few people, great. That feels good.
Yeah. I find that too. I find that when we look spiritually from that lens, our spiritual essence, or from the soul, it is and in both. It's only the ego that wants to do either or, you know.
That's the old paradigm, or the outdated paradigm. Yes.
The outdated, yes. But, you know, I can tell you, I've still come across, you know, I've do some workshops, and I've had people, because I'm a bit of a techie myself, and I've had people come up and say, oh, my God, you like the computer? And I'm like, what?
Well,
you think that's spiritual? Yeah. I don't understand.
Not everything.
It's a tool coming from, source, from, you know, source energy's conscious. It's what created it. But there still are some people out there that kind of teach that Twitter is bad, social media is bad, you shouldn't watch TV, you shouldn't be on the computer, you know, or it's a necessary evil, or I wish I didn't have to do email. And it's like, you know, it's so, they have this idea that the only thing that's spiritual is being in the Himalayas or at the beach or hiking, sitting on the rock,
mm-hmm.
and go to yoga class and meditate. That's it.
Ironically,
everything else is
the either or mindset right there. Not integrated.
Good point. Yes. What they're trying to get rid of, what they're trying to move out of and grow out of. Yes, very good, very true.
Sneaky little patterns, aren't they? Wow, I was going to suggest
yes.
we cover politics and religion immediately so we could get that out of the way and get to the good stuff. But here we are.
Right. Oh,
because
my gosh.
That is a similar pattern in many domains of We as humans, I can speak for some of us, I guess. I think this is reasonably universal. We're paradoxes, paradoxi, I suppose, if
yes.
we're going to be correct in our Latin. And
yes.
we have a need for both stability and novelty. And how we uniquely play out that seeming paradox, I think, flavors a lot of our experience, a lot of our filters, so to speak, our perceptual and projecting filters. So we want to be stable. We want to have something we're sure of. But then we want surprise. We want novelty. We want new.
Yeah.
And you see the advertising business hijacking or exploiting that dynamic, that back and forth so much. It's so blatantly obvious. And yet, how do we integrate those two needs? Good question, huh?
But good question, but I love that you're bringing this up, because I do not only believe and feel, but I've experienced, we do need to have that combo and not one or the other. I think if people, you get
mm-hmm.
stuck in too much novelty, variety, not grounding, and then there are those that are such overly focused on security, stick in the mud, and that's not great. And
won't touch computers or email, because that's something new and novel still. And
right.
that's the mindset of falling too much into, like, it's been called rule-based living, the structure, the stability.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's calcifying. That's not living. We're alive. We're dynamic. But we're not totally
mm-hmm.
flighty with no connections. The analogy I like to use is in the music field, of course. Jazz music has a framework, but it has a freedom to it. So when you hear one artist or different artists playing Kind of Blue or any of the jazz classics, you'll instantly recognize the framework, but it'll be a unique expression each time.
Yes.
So
you're saying there
the
needs
metaphor.
To be
life
a
is
framework.
Jazz.
I love that. I love that. So there needs to be a framework, and then within mm-hmm. that, some kind of light present time or something that's kind of
dynamic.
Happening now, live, dynamic, yeah.
Right. That's the free will. That's also what I talk about in archetypal languages, whether we call it archetypal cosmology or traditional astrology or any number of archetypal languages, that there's a framework, but it isn't predestined. It's got a whole lot of leeway for free will and unique expression in it.
Ooh. Now, archetypal languages, what is that? You're saying that's like astrology? like the way of interpreting something?
Astrology is the most well-known one of them, yes. It has, again, it has a paradox of both taboo and curiosity, so embedded in our culture, doesn't it?
Right.
And those who criticize it, I, having been on that side of the crack for many years, didn't understand it or don't understand it. And when you do dive in and find that it's not what you think it isn't when you criticize it, you'll find that it's this rich, again, archetypal landscape that you see a map of so much, but you don't see predestiny either. You just see a map for everybody to play out, or maybe a loop script, or again, a jazz song where here's the song, how's this person going to play it out with that person and so forth.
Let me ask you,
a lot, actually. Like, well, is it, how do I find it? Some of the same meme you were touching with and with your earlier callers about finding the mate or the idealized mate. And again, all you'll find is they'll be attractors.
I like that, idealized mate.
Right, they'll be attractors, but that's not telling you how it's going to work out between you two. That's up to you two. Big time.
Right.
Right.
Well, what I find too, a lot of times it's, you know, don't kind of want to do the work. They don't want to do the work unconscious. And I love what you said, the idealized. Exactly. I was talking to someone the other day and I said, well, you want conscious relationship, but you kind of don't want to work on your consciousness. You know, it's kind of.
I don't want to unpack my baggage. Can I just leave those over in the corner and not ever unpack them?
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Right. I know.
Exactly.
Can I
just give them to you? That's Hans. Idealized. That's what it is. It's an idealized partner.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents used to joke about that.
I think the big boo-boo is there.
My parents used to joke about that. Remember my dad saying he found the ideal woman, but she was looking for the ideal man, so it didn't work out.
Yeah. It reminds me, years ago when I modeled, I don't remember what store it was, or anyway, I came out and these pants were really loose, but behind
the
me,
70s,
they put
right?
those, what are the what?
You say the 70s or the 80s, right? The baggy, that little era.
No, they weren't that bad. No, they weren't that baggy. They just weren't tight. It was the 90s, but they weren't that tight. But they put those photography clamps, I don't know what they are, behind to make them look more like tighter leggings. They were they weren't real loose, but they were, you know, more like looser yoga.
The camera's looking, you know?
I got to tell you what happened was all these people that I knew, they wanted those pants. But they thought they were these, and this reminds me of what you're talking about. And they said, God, they fit. They're these great. They have this great design. And they said, we're looking for leggings like that with our boots. And I said, but they're not leggings. They're leggings, but they're a little bit looser. That's what happens to me. I think in relationship, we look at the front, we look at the picture, and you try to say no, but there's a lot behind that you don't see. Don't see the clamps that are holding everything in. But they still say, I want those because what I'm seeing on the outside. So got a couple questions for you, Hans, in that alignment.
Yeah.
In that, this focus. One is when you say about, you know, more that stability, you know, more the structure, and then you the dynamic part of dynamism. How do people, is it through meditation? How do people know? Am I more in one direction or the other, or what do I, you know, how do I tune in to see, how do I balance this, you know, how do they become aware, and then how do they balance it? Yeah.
The rigid psyches, the extremely rigid personalities, usually don't see it because think they're supposed to be this way. Law and order, structure, rules, you shouldn't, all that stuff. And they do tend to get rather uptight. So I think the anger response is one of the hints about one's perceived safety being challenged or perceived as even attacked.
Ooh.
That's a hint there, the annoyance reaction. The ones that are way too flighty, la-di-da-di-da, if you've been to maybe two or three different spiritual groups and you live in Los Angeles, you might need to put your feet on the ground.
Oh, love this.
Sitting from guru is too broad and vague of a term, but
right.
from one belief system to another, in search of this certain spiritualized something, that might be a hint to put the feet more on the ground. Right?
I love that.
Just what you were saying about meditation, that just doing it, and I hadn't thought of it to that degree of structuring different types of different people. I would just say, oh, just listen to the bowls. But I guess those of people that do like 33 bowls tend to gravitate towards using that as a meditation, and it may or may not be as universal as I might hope, but I think it's a pretty good start. Again, based on a very ancient tradition of entrainment and disentrainment to get the psyche into those deeper states. But once you know that state, I think it starts to shake the cobwebs loose. And these kinds of quests or lack of quests, I think are mm-hmm. lifetime kinds of phenomena. Somebody is very rigid. They have too strong of a Saturn in the natal chart. Whatever the reason is, mm-hmm. they were traumatized in a certain way so that the left brain takes over. As they grow up, they tend to gravitate towards, again, the more conservative, rigid, rule-based, law and order kind of mindset. It seems to sort of self-perpetuate rather than loosen up and soften. So sometimes...
How do they get it to soften?
Isn't that the question? Figure that out and we'll get another bestseller book going or something, right?
Take
over from the Mars Venus franchise.
Sometimes
drugs are the answer for people like that. I don't know. I have seen some who was it? There was a guy who was a friend of a friend, so this is second degree anecdotal, but he was kind of a big tough security kind of dude, ran that kind of thing. And he had a gig or something where he was security at a natural museum, and there was a display with bufo toads there. This is a fun story. It's kind of a distraction.
Yeah.
But he went, wait, I'd heard something about those. He looked up and he found out that the bufo toad on its back has this strangely intense combination of substances, including tryptamines and dimethyltryptamine, or the infamous DMT. And he went, that's interesting. So his night gig, he took advantage of it. He kind of broke the rules, which happens. This is part of the taboo. You get rule-based thinkers who kind of break the rules once in a while, and it's this taboo, and it's this big deal. But he ended up taking some of the secretion and drying it and smoking it, and had the classic ayahuasca DMT high that blew his circuits out. And the next thing you know, he quit his job as a security guy, and he goes and he studies massage, and he ended up founding a rather large bodywork studio down in San Diego, and to this day, it's trained a whole lot of people in integrative bodywork. So that was what blew his circuit. Totally do not recommend that for everybody. I know way too many people who've blown their circuits way too many times, and you try to bring them back down to ground, and you think they do need some more structure. Then I don't think the answer is a simplistic balance. I think it's a dynamic. But back to your thing about meditation and breath work, I think that's one of the better things we can do for ourselves, being in the body. You know, the propensity of those who tend to be more, spontaneous and less rigid, or too spontaneous and not rigid enough, is that they need to be in their bodies more. There's a big, big push in the spiritual communities to have these out-of-body experiences, to have this new novel something. But we're forgetting that we put one foot into our pants at a time. All of us do. We're standing on the ground where you need to be really present in the body. And breath work, again, is one of the better ways to do that in my experience. Just listen to bowls, breathe. You can get relatively cheap biofeedback hardware and software to do what's called HRV, or heart rate variability meditation, which puts you in that coherent serpent's pulse kind of slow breathing rhythm. I mentioned that 5 years back, so we can refresh everybody's memory here, that there seems to be this universal rhythm of about 4 to 6 times per minute. So it's measured in millihertz rather than hertz, or cycles per second. And it's the same rhythm as the ocean waves hitting the continent, there's a heart rate variability when we're in that coherent state. There is also the cranial sacral rhythm, which is the same as that. There's probably others, the parasympathetic rhythm,
powerful.
And so forth.
Oh.
And so when they're all lined up, that seems to be that translucent light experience, to use Western words.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes around circle to something you're asking, well, what do people do? I've noticed there's this incredible amount of, and it's an overused word, resistance to these kinds of constructive shifts. But when somebody tries to meditate, have you noticed this? Every excuse in the world will come up to not do it. And when it's finally sitting down and doing it, everything will come up to distract it. Like the body will start itching. And the answer is just stay with it. Just stay steady. Think of it as if you're going to a physical gym. The first time you pick up a weight, you're not going to be curling and popping the biceps and looking all, you know, buffed out. It's going to take a while of practice, and it's going to be kind of shaky at first, and it might even be kind of embarrassing if you've got the, you know, the image and shame kind of thing going that you can't do what somebody else can do. But the point is to just stay with it at the level you're at and work on improving that a little bit each time. And don't beat yourself up if it slips back a bit. Just stay with it. That's the steady side of bringing the novelty back into the more structured, mm-hmm. if it's needed, approach.
Now, let me ask you, Hans, if when you're listening to the bold, and you have, what? Give me again the new recording that you have. You have,
Breathe.
What's the name of it?
Breathe, like
the
breath.
New one.
Yes, 74 minutes of solfeggio tones going down and then back up, and really good with headphones.
Now, what do you recommend people having this on in the background?
Doesn't
or
hurt.
Is it more formalized? Yeah, because I like having them. Yeah, okay.
As long as it doesn't always become a background habit and then we become distracted, I think that's the other shadow side of our hyperculture, where we're overstimulated to the point where we're trying to do everything at once.
That's so true.
Trying to meditate while we read and watch TV and surf the internet. I mean, it's not going to work that way. You've got to take 15 minutes out and just be there, but then do other things. And so, not that I'm trying to push it as it's the universal elixir. It's a toothpaste and a shoe polish. I'm not doing that, but 33 Bowls is pretty good at holding the space and holding the space in a room just as quote-unquote backdrop, but it's also really good to just stop, drop everything else, and focus on. As long as you don't do nothing but background, I think you'll be in the right direction. You know, sleep, that's another, that was something that I was reminded to bring up about the proverbial wave of insomnia that we're having recently, at least the last few years. Everybody I know is having trouble getting enough deep sleep. And I think there's a number of factors there, but it is certainly part of the general speeding up of things, the hyperactivity of everything. So
that's right. Yeah.
I've had enough acquaintances and secondary connections, you know, hearing anecdotes from a friend of a friend that they'll just put on the Bowls recording on repeat, kind of quiet if they can't get to sleep, and it pretty well relaxes them.
Oh, I have to try that.
And, yeah, just kind of quietly, just in the background. So in that case, it's intentionally boring as opposed to something to focus on. But, you know, there's another thing that we touched on, I think, 5 years ago and didn't get to talk much about, that I do have knowledge from the technical background, and that's electrosmog. What we've got in the last couple of decades is this insane amount of electromagnetic energy. It's non-ionizing, subthermal, microwave electromagnetic fields. We have, of course, cell phone cell towers. And then everybody wants Wi-Fi up in that gigahertz frequency range again. And the recent push for what are called smart meters, for the electrical meters everywhere, it's a mesh network of, again, gigahertz, low-level microwave radiation, just blasting everything. So there's this huge mishmash cocktail soup of electrosmog pretty well everywhere you're in civilization. And my experience back in the 90s in the hardware end of the dot-com boom was that the telecom industry, you'll pardon the phrase, bloody well knew that there were health effects from it. But
yeah.
Like the tobacco industry, they were too hooked into what they were doing. And they ended up funding a number of obfuscation studies to show that, oh, there's not really anything conclusive. They hired the same ad agency to cloud the waters, but they were smarter than the tobacco industry in that they always settle cases out of court so that they don't establish.
So people didn't.
Right. So there's a lot of cases of people. Firehouses that had a cell tower on top of them that took, like, for instance, Nextel, back when they were a cellular carrier, to court over the fact that the firemen couldn't sleep and couldn't remember their functions when this thing went on, and all the expert witnesses coming through and this and that, they actually did blood tests and showed that the immune systems were challenged when they were sleeping in the firehouse under the cell antenna. So it was finally worked out to move the cell antenna away from the firehouse, but this whole thing was settled with, I can tell you now, because why not? Leaks happen, but there was a non-disclosure agreement and a settlement that, okay, you don't sue us, we won't sue you, we'll move the antenna, everything's cool, right? And so there are a lot of those kinds of cases going on in the telecom industry of, what's the word, quantifiable harm from exposure. So a lot of us running around with vague symptoms of malaise, right? Like,
yes,
I can't sleep too well, or I just feel kind of off, or I'm kind of fidgety, and all that may well be just this influx of electrosmog. And there isn't an easy answer to that. Well, there are piecemeal answers. Is one, if a cell tower goes up right across the street from your apartment and you're aimed right at your second or third floor window, move. And you can turn off the Wi-Fi at night, although you can't turn off your neighbor's Wi-Fi, you can at least reduce it. You can keep your cell phone away from your head and away from your body so you're not blasting yourself quite as much. Watch out for if there's a bank of smart meters, say in an apartment complex, don't be on the wrong side of it. Little things like that can all add up to reducing exposure. And again, analogous to tobacco industry, it's not that it's going to kill you, but the level of physical stress is similar to smoking. It's oxidative stress. It's a stress on a system. Some people die from it. Other people are just a little fatigued or are just not quite functioning as optimally. So, wow, how was that for a mouthful about what may be keeping us up at night? So I've seen so many,
well,
I've talked
I
to so many
you know,
people yeah,
that,
who when the smart meter, they say, I can't sleep. I said, when did the smart meter come in? They went, oh, yeah, the electrical guy was out. He put a new meter in, and I can't sleep now. That was it. That was the big shift right there, for instance.
Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, we've had our power outage. It was 20,000 people in our area that didn't have power. And I noticed, it was amazing. Oh,
doesn't it feel
nothing,
different?
So different. First, I woke up and I was kind of, I was unnerved. I was like, what's going on? And it was ominous kind of. And then when I realized what it was, I went, I'm not hearing the faint buzz.
Right.
That's ever present and that's imploding into me.
Yes.
So
hopefully we'll survive as a species through this era, because there are other ways to transmit information than with low-level microwaves. And, you know, using light, there's actually a whole protocol worked out at MIT, they call it LIFI, L-I-F-I, where they're going to be modulating infrared, which is not biologically harmful, especially at very low levels, and that's going to replace the ubiquitous, Wi-Fi in people's houses, and then eventually we'll figure out how to communicate the grid without doing a bunch of electrosmog, and hopefully it'll all come around, and this could be 10, 20, 30 years from now, provided we keep it together as a civilization, or sufficiently together. So
do you
meantime,
think our body is morphing? Oh. Somebody put in the chat, like, change of DNA. Do you think that due to this, that the body is adapting? Because we are these adaptogens. Do you think we're adapting to be able to handle this?
Kind of. Kind of. The deal is that one of the characteristics of, again, low-level electrosmog is that it mucks with the basic DNA processes. So it's not that it's just different. It's a complete interference versus it's a subtle shift in parameters. And that means that there's going to be more errors in the replication. So we might be inadvertently creating some mutation that's going to be very healthy. But the catch is that the shift in the dosage has been so extreme that living systems are not going to adapt in one generation to that. You know, when you have a shift in an environment,
okay,
even a couple of percent, just a very, very, you know, a couple percent shift, then you'll start to notice over several and tens of generations. This has been studied, Darwin's finches and in fruit fly populations. You can see changes in adaptability happening. Well, birds now sing at frequencies that aren't as close to man-made noises so they can hear with each other, that kind of thing. But those are subtler shifts. What we've got with this electrosmog era is it's something like 100,000 times louder than it was 30 years ago, okay? Like five orders of magnitude noisier than we were exposed to just a few decades ago, a generation ago. So unfortunately, if an adaptability happens, it's not going to be this generation. It's going to be several generations. But it doesn't look
okay,
really promising, again, because it's a generic disruptor rather than a parameter shift.
Specific. Okay,
right.
Explain that. What's that mean, like a parameter,
okay, so
general disruptor?
If the fruit is a little bit higher on the tree, the animal with the longer neck tends to be favored, and several generations later, there's more of them around to reach higher up to the fruit to eat. That's a parameter, right? But if something keeps them from even figuring out they need to eat the fruit because their brains are so scrambled, it doesn't make much difference. And the general, you know, scrambling that electrosmog does doesn't, it isn't a single sort of parameter shift. It's a general mucking up of things. So it's much more entropic or chaotic than, say, changing the color from blue to green, and then we go, oh, we'll adapt over to green. Does that analogy make sense?
Yeah, so it's not affecting every, or the way that it's affecting is not the same. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's a general malaise rather than a specific parameter you could
something
shift around
specific
from. Yeah.
Right. So,
and you know, some people are
more
consciously aware of it. It's funny. In the U.S. here where we're based, although I guess this is worldwide, we're really behind the times. In some EU countries, Sweden, for instance, they recognize electrohypersensitivity as an actual malady, and it's a couple percent of the population can really tell consciously when the stuff's on and when it's off. Maybe 30% of the population are affected by it but aren't conscious of it.
They're conscious of it. That's, I think, is a big issue.
Yeah.
A lot aren't conscious of it, so they don't think it's happening.
Right. And yeah, there have been, again, the studies that I saw back in the telecom days that I wish I'd smuggled out. I wish I'd been a whistleblower back then, but I valued my job too much. They did studies on long-term memory where people had no idea what was going on, but they were tested 6 months later for retention, and people who were being doused with the equivalent of a cell phone on their head couldn't remember as much from 6 months prior as those who weren't, for instance.
Wow.
But if you would have asked them at the time, do you feel anything from that phone? They go, no, I don't feel anything. But they weren't consciously aware of it until tests were worked out to see that there really was something happening. I mean, the funny analogy that's being pushed by the telecom industry and telling people, oh, it's all in your head, you're all imagining things, there's no proof, yada, 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 all those stories. It'd be like if you go to the doctor's office and the doctor tells you, well, tell me what's wrong with you. If you can't tell me, there's nothing wrong.
Exactly.
You're going in there for them to diagnose what's going on, not the other way around. And so electrosmog symptoms being kind of the great mimicker aren't something that more than a couple percent of the population would be able to tell you what's going on. And again, the people who are really electrosensitive, we tend to think they're kind of nuts, but I've met a few of them, it's amazing. You can plug and unplug the Wi-Fi, and they'll be able to tell you at least three quarters of the time which is which. You know,
I used to have a what is it? Home. You plug the iPod in, and it had the, and then the phone. You could, and it what is it? Digital. By having that digital number, I could feel the energy coming off of it.
Yeah,
and I would
wake
up and go, there it is. I could see it. I could feel it. And there would, you know. So, yeah, it does emit. I think things like this, like your singing bowls and stuff, I think that kind of stuff counterbalances this, counteracts this.
Oh, yeah, definitely
brings
helps
in
any
right?
stressful situation.
Definitely helps.
Yes. Yeah. And I wish there was a more concrete, direct answer, but we're still in basically the exploratory phase. We're the big experiment right now, so we don't have answers other than if you're aware, it's a good idea to reduce your exposure. And that's pretty well it.
Right.
Don't kill yourself over trying to not get killed. But,
right.
you know, that paradox. But it's good to minimize it.
Wow. All right. Well, we've got, okay, great show. Thanks and have a great rest of your week. I thought he was going to play a sing. You did at one point, did the singing bowl, but I don't know. It's better to go to his site, I think, to listen.
Yes.
Which is 33bowls.com, and you can also purchase and download there as well. Hans, as usual, great to have you on the program. Wealth of insight
you,
and
Michelle.
Information. Always love chatting with you. I'm sure people are going to request you to come back once again. And thanks for those
give us a
tips
few weeks.
On that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay. Great to connect.
Thanks again, Michelle.
Thank you. And again, that was Hans of 33 Bowls. You can go to 33bowls.com. His latest recording, Breathe, is just amazing. And definitely, I feel recordings like this really help us reset. I mean, whether you have it playing in the background or using it as what I call more of a formal meditation to really sit down and focus and tune in. We need to counterbalance what we're getting in the environment, whether our inner environment or our external. If you want to find out more information about Hans as well as listen, you can just click on his website. It's just fantastic. That's 33bowls.com. Lots of love to everyone. It's so great to have all of you here. I've so enjoyed this program. I love connecting with all of you. You guys are just so amazing. Such a joy to come here every Wednesday and see what we co-create. Anyway, for all things Awakenings, you can email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. If you have any interest in the teleworkshop, we're doing the pranic healing and chakra balancing, learning to palpate the energy, scan the body, connect into the subtle energy, as well as look at subtle energy anatomy, body-mind symptoms as they relate to the chakra system. So I'm going to go into some basic, what we call subtle anatomy or esoteric anatomy, go into some basic modalities for that. You can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to eventbrite.com and sign up there. And let's see if I go to more information. I'm trying to get the link. Tamara had put it in the chat. Let's see. It is, if you go to eventbrite.com/transformation-empowerment-healing-via-pranic-healing, that will get you there. Or you can just Google it, -balancing, right? So you can go there, or you can always email me. Anyway, have a great rest of your Wednesday, and of course, just continue to shine that bright light of yours, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakened conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights4. SpiritLedLiving.com. Keep awake. Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.